Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to this day of worship as we gather here together, continuing to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and letting the Holy Spirit continue to work in us to strengthen and keep us in that faith. And what is faith and how does faith work? That's kind of what we're going to be focusing on today as we hear God's word and meditate upon it for our lives today. So as we gather together and have faith, our faith, of course, as Christians, is in the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why we call on his name, but let's stand as we call on that name first in song. True God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As penitent people, we ask God for his grace and mercy. So let's take a moment or two to sort of personally and silently confess our sins before the Lord before we do that together, shall we? So now, having confessed our failures and sins silently, let us join together in confessing our sins to God, our merciful Father, together. We pray. Gracious God, in heartfelt repentance, we admit and confess our sinfulness. We are sin-stained people by nature. Each day we have sinned and done things we ought not to have done, and have not done that which we are to have been doing as your servants. We do indeed deserve your punishment in this life and for eternity. Trusting in your mercy, we come to you for forgiveness. Our trust is in the merits of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within our hearts and lives, lead us along the paths of righteousness to the glory and honor of your holy name. Amen. And today again, not only do we trust, but we also celebrate. God is merciful. And for the sake of his Son, Jesus, the Father hears our cry and grants us forgiveness. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And you may be seated. Assured of our forgiveness in Christ now, our hearts are lifted up again to worship and praise our Lord. And so we say, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship him. Well, we turn now to our Lord's holy word, and our Old Testament reading is recorded for us today in Genesis chapter 15. We hear throughout the Old Testament that God makes promises. We hear those promises, and then what will we do with them? Will we believe them or not? When you believe it, that's what we call faith. We're told after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So there's God's promise. We're told Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This is the word of our Lord. Now, as we turn to the epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 11, these are the words we're going to be focusing on for our own life today, but we see that just as Abram heard that word of God and put his faith in what God had promised, well, he wasn't the only one. We have tons of Christians that have gone on before us, trusting in God's promises that God not only could do what he said he would do, but would do it. And again, that's faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of our Lord. And we respond now with our own little prayer. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shall we stand now for the reading of the gospel? This is the gospel according to Luke chapter 12, and Jesus again reassures and reminds us of a promise that God is pleased to give us the kingdom. He wants us to have and live in his kingdom, and that as we believe that, that faith in our hearts now starts to shape and change the way that we live our lives. And so Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no mouth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated then as we continue with our next hymn, kind of preparing our hearts now to meditate and focus our lives on God's word as we think about faith, and so we sing, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. We just sang a hymn about faith, and faith is what we want to think about and talk about today. You know, the word faith is something that we hear a lot about as we gather together each week and worship before our Lord and Savior Jesus, constantly talking about faith as Christians. But if someone came up to you and asked you what faith actually is, would you be able to answer them and give them a description? One definition that the dictionary says about faith is this, that faith is a trust, reliance, confidence in someone or something. So now, by this definition, we can see that faith is not just merely knowing something or having some knowledge in a person's head. Faith has something to do with the heart. It's an attitude, you might say, or state of being within us that depends upon someone else, or again, something else, to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. Faith is also something that we can't start or stir within ourselves. Faith is something that's stirred in our hearts, usually by something that's outside of us, such as another person's actions or promises that another person makes to us. So, a child who's been told by her dad that she's loved, when that dad takes his little child, puts her up on the counter, steps back and says, "Jump, honey, and I'll catch you," what's a little child do? Well, knowing she's loved by her father, she believes that and launches herself off into midair, right? Trusting that dad is going to catch her. Or a housewife that's been told by her friend about a new laundry detergent that she just bought, that's the best that she's ever used, hears those words and is moved by those words to trust that that soap is going to do the same thing for her laundry. So she goes out and buys a bottle of the soap to try it out for herself, right? You see, those are examples of faith, you might say, showing up in our daily life. The problem with faith in things of the world, however, is that the things that we put our faith in or trust in, they don't always come through for us, do they? We trust our dad to catch us when he says, "Jump and I'll catch you," but sometimes dad's not ready or he's not strong enough and we jump and then we get dropped. Or that new detergent that we bought to get all of the stains out of our clothes, no matter how many times we try and use it, some stains just stubbornly remain. Now, the fact that the faith we have in things of the world should fail us sometimes really shouldn't come as much of a surprise. Because you see, faith is only as good and certain as the thing or person is in which we trust. So the less perfect that a person or thing is that we trust in, the less certain that we are that they can do for us what they promise or claim, and the more uncertain our faith comes. Now, that's just talking about generic faith. And you can see that in some similar ways, our Christian faith is kind of like the faith that we have in these other things in the world. For example, Christian faith is not just mere head knowledge about Jesus. In other words, it's not just knowing the facts of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Like other things that we have faith in, Christian faith is a matter of the heart. It's a reliance in our heart upon Jesus, that Jesus can save us from being punished for our sins, which is something we can't do for ourselves. Christian faith is a trust in our hearts. It's a trust that through Jesus' perfect life, his innocent suffering and death on the cross, and then his glorious resurrection, in that work, Jesus has done everything that's needed to win for us forgiveness and make it possible for us to inherit eternal life. And Christian faith is a confidence that because Jesus paid the price for our sin, there's nothing that we need to do or add to Jesus' work to merit God's grace and favor. Because in Christ, that favor or grace of God, it's already been given to us as a gift. Likewise, Christian faith is not something that we stir in ourselves. It's something that's created in us by the work and word of another, specifically the work and words of the Holy Spirit as God. We're taught that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "No one who is speaking by the Spirit of God, says Jesus, be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord and sort of really believe that, except by the Holy Spirit." And the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to create this Christian faith in our hearts is, of course, His Word. Like Romans 10 says, faith comes from hearing the message, you know, the message about Jesus. And the message is heard through the words of Christ. So taking those words and promises of God concerning Jesus and all that Jesus has done for us, the Holy Spirit uses those promises to lead us to put our faith in Jesus for forgiveness and eternal life. And so we end up trusting in Jesus instead of trusting in ourselves or someone else or something else to get those gifts for us. Now, like I said, there are a lot of similarities between our Christian faith and faith we have in other things of the world. But here now is where the similarities stop or come to an end. As I said earlier, the faith that we have in things of this world, it's kind of an iffy faith at best and uncertain, because the things that we trust in this world don't always come through for us like we hoped. But that is not the way it is for us when it comes to our Christian faith. And that's why the definition of faith that the Bible gives in Hebrews chapter 11 is a different definition than what the dictionary gives us. In Hebrews chapter 11, going back now to our epistle reading that we read a moment ago, we're told this. Here's the biblical definition. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You catch the difference there? Christian faith is something that's always certain. It's sure about what it trusts in. Not because the faith that we have in our hearts is always strong. Our faith in our heart isn't always strong. In fact, as we know, personally, our faith is often weak, isn't it? In fact, our faith in our hearts sometimes is strong one day, weak the next day. It kind of goes up and down. But what makes our Christian faith certain and sure is because the object that we put our faith in is certain and sure, which is Jesus and the words of promise that He gives to us in the Bible. Thus, all those people that have gone on before us, putting their trust in Jesus as the Savior and His work, His words of promise, they were never let down. Jesus always came through for them. That's what the rest of our epistle reading from Hebrews 11 goes on to say. We won't read the whole thing, but look at verse 2. It says, this is what the ancients were commended for. See, they relied on the Savior to come. It says in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Imagine explaining that to your wife. Honey, we're moving. Yeah, where are we moving to? I don't know, but we're going. But Abraham did, because he trusted God knew where he was going, and that was good enough for him. It says, by faith he made his, verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, couldn't have kids anymore or father them, and Sarah herself was barren, so she's not only old, but she's barren too, a double whammy. Yet, Abraham wasn't able to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise, and that was God. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants, just like God said, as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. You know, Abraham never saw the mighty nation of Israel. He only had one son. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Now, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country, you know, the physical country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country. You might say a heavenly one or a spiritual one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. See, they trusted in him. They were his children, for he has prepared a city for them. Now notice in these examples of Abraham and other believers who've gone on before us, none of them saw the immediate fulfillment of the promises that they'd been given by God, but they trusted, or they had faith that what God had said and promised would come true. In fact, they were counting on it. They built their life on it. And in some cases, they bet their life on it, didn't they? So what made the faith of these early Christians so certain and so sure? When in our world today, we're told you can't be certain and sure about anything. Well, simply this. Jesus is what made their faith certain and sure. You see, Jesus is not some imperfect God that we rely on, who does good sometimes, but other times makes a mess of things like we do. That's not what Jesus is like. Jesus is the perfect, holy Son of God. He's one whom people saw at work as he went around preaching and teaching and doing miracles, and were led by what they saw to exclaim in Mark 7 that Jesus has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Jesus also is a God, or he's not a God that makes promises that he can't keep or doesn't keep. He makes promises and then carries through on those promises, each and every one of them. You know, as Jesus was walking around preaching and teaching at various times, before he did a miracle, he would sometimes ask people if they believed that he could heal them, you know, when they were sick. And many of them acknowledged that they did believe that. And he did. He healed them, just as he said. Before being crucified on the cross, Jesus told his disciples all the little nuts and bolts details of things that would happen to him, including his glorious resurrection from the dead. And he was not just giving them the details of what would happen, he was promising, here's what would happen. And every little detail that Jesus promised happened just like he said. And Jesus is not some powerless weakling who's unable to help those who put their trust in him. He is the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who made the universe and everything in it in six 24-hour days. using only the power of his word to do that. He's the Savior of the world who was able to bear the weight of the punishment for all of the world's sin as he hung there on the cross and not get crushed or overwhelmed by that burden that Jesus had to bear. And so you see, because of who Jesus is as the Savior and what Jesus is as Almighty God, Christian faith in him is indeed something certain and sure. Okay, but now we know what the nature of faith is and what makes Christian faith so certain and sure. But so what? Does it really matter? Is understanding all of this really that important for our daily life? Well, you bet it is. You see, understanding the nature of faith helps us understand the nature of some of the problems that you and I face in life. And it also provides us with some direction so we know what needs to happen for those problems to be resolved. By way of example, let's just take a very quick look at one of life's common maladies or problems, and that's stress. That's something that we can all relate to, okay? Because we all have it, right? Now, stress can be caused by a lot of things. Sometimes stress is caused by trying to do too much in a holiday weekend, right? And you just can't handle it all. You get stressed out. Stress can be caused by overeating at a meal. Who of us hasn't been stressed out in our bellies after being at the Minnesota State Fair and eating all of those foods and coming home and can't eat anymore, right? Stress can be caused by a boss at work that's loading too much onto you day after day and you just can't get it all done. Stress can also be caused by just a lot of little things in life that normally wouldn't bother you, all kind of piling up on you and creating more pressure than you are able to bear. What many of us don't realize, though, is that there is a relationship that exists between faith and stress. You see, the weaker our Christian faith in Jesus gets, the more stress we typically feel. And you know why that is? Because the weaker our Christian faith gets, so that's faith in Jesus, the less we lean on Jesus and his ability to get us through life, and the more we tend to rely on our own power and strength to get us through all the dilemmas of life. When that happens, you know what we're doing? In effect, we're relying upon someone who's less capable to help us than relying upon someone who's more capable to help us. Or to put it another way, we're relying on someone who is less certain and sure than Jesus is. And when you do that, well, stress is bound to follow, right? Because then it's all of a sudden up to us to make everything work out in life or work out between us and God. And who of us can do that? None of us can. So no wonder we get stressed out when we try. So you want to get rid of stress? Well, the solution to that is not hard. Getting rid of stress is a matter of growing more in your Christian faith. It's a matter of giving the Holy Spirit more opportunity to strengthen us in our faith in Jesus through his word and that sacrament of baptism that we've all been blessed with and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that we sometimes celebrate. You see, the more that we trust in Jesus and the more our faith in him grows, the more we rely upon Jesus to take care of things and the less we rely upon ourselves. And when that happens, the burden of stress that we've been laboring under, well, it starts to go away, and it is replaced with a sense of peace that only Jesus can give. Maybe that's why Jesus encourages us and draws us to put our faith in him again when he says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Amen. Well, let's close this meditation as we consider faith and have the Spirit help us learn not only what faith is, but grow in that faith as we now give thanks and praise to our Lord for his ongoing work that helps us when we get weak in our faith. Let's close by singing "Praise to You in Adoration." And we receive now our offerings. So we stand now as we join our hearts today, using today the prayer of the church, as it's found in your bulletin. So let us approach the throne of God in faith and confidence, bringing before our Heavenly Father the needs of the church and of all people. And so now we pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you not in fear and trembling, but in faith. Having been baptized into Christ and cleansed with his blood, we stand before you in honor and praise of all your wonderful deeds, none the least of which is our salvation. Strengthen our faith, so, like Abraham, we might believe your promises, even when we don't yet see their fulfillment. Lord Jesus, help us always to be ready for your coming. Help us to look forward with anticipation to that day when we will join you and all the saints in the glories of our heavenly home. Lord, we give you thanks for all the physical and spiritual blessings you have given us. You truly do immeasurably more than we ever ask or imagine. We raise before you your throne of grace today, those with special needs. We want to especially remember our sister in Christ, Janet Bacalar, as she's undergone hip replacement surgery. Praying not only that that surgery has been successful, but that you would grant Janet a quick recovery so that she can join us again here as we gather before your throne, lifting our voices in praise and thanks to you. On this Labor Day weekend, we remember the many people and families who are traveling to various places, asking that you would grant them safety on their way. And especially today, Lord, our hearts go out to those people in our community, especially those suffering from the recent school shooting in Minneapolis and its surroundings. We trust that schools and churches would be places of safety, but then we see that the devil worms his way in and causes so much devastating destruction. So, Lord, this helps us learn to rely on you, Jesus, instead of the things of this world. And for those who are hurting, Lord, we pray, grant healing to those who are still injured and in the hospital trying to recover. We pray that you would grant restoration to those whose lives have been shattered by loved ones lost. We pray for protection from your angels, from the evil that surrounds all of us everywhere, Lord, as we trust in you and make our way through life. Be with us, Lord, and help us in these dark times. And we ask this because our faith is in you, Jesus. And so we pray, Lord, in your mercy, look upon these people in your compassion and come to their aid. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in confident and continued faith now, we go on to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, we go forward now from this house of worship in faith. And again, our Christian faith is always faith in Jesus, who's certain and sure. And that means, even though we don't know what the future holds this week for any of us, we do know that with Christ at our side, it'll be a blessed week, filled with those good things that God has in store for us. How do we know that? Well, because that's what God says. That's what he promises us in Christ. And it's in that promise of God that we put our faith and go now to live in confidence. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. As we looked at the epistle reading today from Hebrews chapter 11, we had one person after another who's gone on before us in faith. How they held on in faith to Christ, and he saw them through their whole life on into his glorious kingdom. And Jesus is doing that same thing for us. And so for our final hymn, we join in remembering and celebrating the faith of those earlier saints as we sing, For All the Saints.